Many of you are new to grace, and when I say new, it's been in the past year and a half. I think our whole country, our whole world is new right now. Everybody's coming out of pandemic. I watched a baseball game yesterday for the first time, seeing a full stadium. It was weird to see that. Unfortunately, we have been desensitized to social network. Now, I know we say Facebook is social network, but this is social networking. It's when you're actually near somebody, you can smell them, you can see them, you can touch them, you can talk with them. That's networking, okay? And so I know that I've been installing these internet systems. I was telling DJ about them earlier this morning, called the Velop, Linksys Velop system. And I'm going to share this with you because as I was doing it, something was really going into my mind and in my heart. They got these little things called nodes. Okay, they're little towers. They're not more than 4 inches tall, about 2 inches wide, and you put these things throughout a space. So our church is built with 5,000 square feet on the ground floor, and then you have about 3,000 square feet upstairs. So if you were trying to put internet in this building to where every part of this building would have equal access and equal speeds, you would need to build a network. One router in the middle of this building doesn't feed the entire building. Believe me, I know. When we first got internet, it was Verizon because we couldn't get anything out here. And my office was there in the middle, and we had to keep the doors open and sometimes carry the computer out just to connect to the internet. And so it was a pain to try to get into a network. And so the way that these nodes work is you take and you put a tower here, then you go about 10 feet, 12 feet, maybe 15 feet, and you place another tower. And when you place the second tower, the first one gets stronger. Then you go another 15 feet, place another one. Another 15 feet, place another one. Another 15 feet, place another one. And every node you place makes the entire network stronger. The more nodes they are, the more powerful each one becomes. But they have to be in close proximity to each other to be able to connect and to have that power. I believe that COVID has really crippled the church because we have lost our connectivity and there's such distance between us socially that we're not feeding off one another. Iron's not sharpening iron. Things aren't getting deeper. People aren't growing. And I'm thankful today to be in a church with a few hundred or whatever where we're actually in distance of each other to where I am stronger today because you are here. I am stronger today because you did your devotions last night. I am stronger today because you worship God and you stood in public and you made it known. We are networked, and as we network, the stronger the node, the soul, the spirit, the mind of the person becomes. How many of you follow me today? And the thing is, we got to get back to is how do we interact with each other? Have you noticed that negativity feeds off negativity? Anybody? Why do you think shows are so dramatic? Commercials are so emotional or impulsive? Because they know they can feed off your energy or they can actually dictate it. We've been teaching, Phil and I have been teaching the kids on Wednesday night about music, about worship, and about different abilities that God has given us to be able to worship. We want our kids to learn at a young age that that talent that's in you was given to you by God to create an orchestra that points the world and universe to Him. You know, we've been in this season of cicadas, right? Where you go outside and all you hear is cicadas. I actually read on the news this morning on Fox News that there was a major car accident caused by a cicada, all right? Now, I'm going to be honest. If one flew into my face while I was driving, I would freak out too. Those little red-eyed beady things. Those things are nasty, all right? But, you know, I was telling many people throughout this time that every time I walked outside and heard those things, Wade and I, we had this conversation. You got to think, if you were buried in the ground 17 years, am I right? 17 years. And you got one chance to come out, and the Bible says that all creation worships Him, and you got one chance for about a couple weeks to sing the praises of God, you'd be a little loud too, wouldn't you? I mean, I have found this to be true. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I find that sometimes it's harder to get the person that's always been right to worship. It's easy to get to the person who was nasty and dirty, but God found them in their mess and brought them out. That person will shout. That person will scream. That person would slap their mama if that's what it took to let the praise of God be known. That's not what it takes, by the way. But the thing is we understand that, hey, when you realize what you've been given, right? And they come out and they worship. So we're teaching these kids. We're saying, hey, you need to worship, so that we ask them to bring instruments. That was in the words of Rachel Brave, right? And they brought in all these drums. And what was the instrument that Tristan had? Say it again. Omnitone? Automatone. It's like a little musical note with a face on it that you run your finger down and it sings. Coolest thing I've ever seen out of Japan. Nobody knew at all how to play a song on their instruments, but all of a sudden, here comes all the instruments. We got Hadley beating the drum. Somebody brought in a flute. I said, are you going to play us something? No, I don't even know how to play this thing, but I got it. You know, and it's like, hey, here we go. What we're teaching them is, hey, if you want to praise God, you can, and you can do it in your own way. You can do it in these things. And so worship is just one way to praise Him. Last week, we asked them, what are other ways we can praise and worship God? We got good answers from kids. Kindness, forgiveness. These are children. You know, hey, when we forgive somebody, are we worshiping God? You better believe it. When we are nice to a stranger, are we worshiping God? Yeah, because what you did to the least of these, it's as if you did it to them. Remember Jesus saying, you visited me when I was in prison. And they looked at him and said, you've never been in jail. And he said, but when you visited the prisoner, it was as if you were visiting me. Hey, we got to get back to this realization that everything we do and everything we are and everything we do to someone else and everything we say about somebody else and everything we do in the presence of somebody else is actually affecting the heart of God today. Hey, understand this. We have an impact on you, but we are impacting and influencing and empowering the throne room of God by the way we teach each other, by the way we love each other, by the way we talk to each other to and about, by the way. So let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. I'll explain your handouts in a second. God's really had this passage screaming in my mind for at least a week now. So we're going to read the first 16 verses. Is that okay with everybody? It's an easy day. You don't have to flip a lot. This is where we're going to stay, all right? So keep that in your notes. Read it with me. Let's start with verse number 1. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Let's break this into context. I've heard a lot of people say in verse number 1 that Paul's saying he was a servant to God by saying, I'm a prisoner for serving the Lord. No, that is a very literal sentence. Paul is saying, I am in chains, I am in bondage, I am in jail because I chose to serve Jesus. He said, I'm losing everything because I'm giving Christ everything. I was talking to my counselor this week about shame. Y'all get to see the version of when we come out here and we're proclaiming the truths that God has put into our lives. My wife can testify to the version of brokenness that happens behind the scenes and the constant attack that the enemy puts on me to remind me of the things that I regret the most. Remind me of the actions. Anybody else ever had that happen? You put the smile on for the public, but inside you wonder, how could I? You put your clothes on and you go about your day, but inside you're wondering, who was I to do something so foolish? Come on now, you're here, right? All right, you're in the building. You know what I'm talking about. But I went to him and I said, what's it mean? You know, how do we do this? And I was talking to him and we were sharing and we were putting, he said, can you imagine what Paul had to feel like when he walked in and started the church of Antioch and a mom walked up to him and said, you're the reason my son is dead. You're the reason my husband's in jail, and now you're preaching the same thing you killed him for. You're preaching the same thing you arrested him for. There's some shame involved in that. That's why Jesus has to be the answer to your shame today. He has to be. The cross is enough. He bore our sorrow. He bore our shame. He took everything that was nasty about you and made it public on the cross, crucified it. The Bible said he canceled the record of wrong that was held against you. He publicly stripped the enemy of every bit of his power against you, and he killed it on the cross. You are not alive to the things that you've done. You're alive to the things that God wants to do in your life today. And that's powerful. I look at this whole front row. I don't know your stories. I got to know his a little bit. I don't think this, I almost would grab the camera and take me with, am I still in it? Am I still in? What about now? How far can I go? I'm good? All right, guys. All right, Scott, we met like 2 weeks ago, right? You got a story, don't you? All right. What kind of story you got? How'd that work?
It did work. I felt God pulling at me the whole time. And he never gave up on me.
Okay, so long, hard road, Try to fight it all by yourself. Didn't work out well, but you felt God pulling on you the whole time. Isn't it amazing? We sang that song earlier where it says, when my friends weren't there, friends I thought I had weren't there. There was who? There was who? God, there was Jesus. Isn't that a powerful song? I know y'all like Dolly Parton. Let's not worship her, but that song has some power in it, does it not? I mean, how many of you can say the same as Scott? There were times of your life you were far from God, but God was never far from you. Anybody got that? Isn't that good? All right, and so in there, now we have a Jesus story, right? Are you okay with me calling you out like this?
Yeah.
Okay, you're not going to be one of those that disappears. I never see you again because I... Okay, all right, good. I should ask these things before a service, but the Holy Spirit takes us different directions, right? You know, I look at this and I say, Grace, I hope we're never the church that's filled with people who feel like they're perfect. I hope we're the church that's reminded that we are imperfect, but we do have a perfect God today. And I hope we stay the church that remembers that, man, a long, hard road becomes a platform of testimony that can show the goodness of God to others that are on a long, hard road. How did y'all meet? Through the halfway house.
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
I mean, look at that. All right, isn't that cool? What about you? How'd you? Through the halfway house. You just got out after doing 6 years. Man, God bless you, dude. We're glad you're here, man. All right, listen, we could just have church right here in this little circle, right? Yeah, Lexi, we'll include you. Lacey, did I call, what did I call you? Okay, so here's the thing. I call Lexi Lacey all the time. So, yeah, you two get together and cry about that, okay? Because I mess it up. She tells me that all the time. We'll pull you in, Lacey. All right, so here it is. You know what's good about God? We don't need this. Am I right? We need this. Yeah, but look, 6 years, how long you been out, man?
3 months.
3 months. 24th will be 3 months. How's life going?
Going great.
All right, man, you've got a big smile on your face.
Yeah, I do. I can't hide it.
You can't hide it. All right, why? Why is that smile there, bro? What's God doing?
Because he's done everything that I thought I could do on my own.
He's done everything you thought you could do on your own. And in 3 months?
Oh, it took time.
It took time? Okay.
Yeah, it took time, and then, you know, you realize that the things that you can't control.
Yeah. Amen. Do you hear that? He said, the things that are going on when you're asleep that you don't even know is happening. And you wake up, you went to bed probably scared, woke up with different news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, you get stressed out, you get worried, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, you think you can just handle it all by yourself. Or, you know, I'm grown, I'm a man, I can fix my problems.
Right.
But, you know, it's not that way.
Hey, amen. I'm grown, I'm a man, I can fix my problems. How many of you men got that problem? Anyway, I do, I got that problem. I mean, it's at the core. Yesterday, I fixed the plunger on a toilet, right? At the top, I don't even know if that's what it's called. Is it called the plunger? What's it called, Tyler? The flapper. I thought it would have like a better name than that, the flapper. That doesn't sound as cool. I fixed the toilet. Let's just leave it at that, right? I fixed the toilet. Yeah, I wanted to come home and act like to my wife that it was a lot harder than it was. You know, you want to come down, I fixed the toilet. You know what I mean? Because I'm a man. I want to fix my life. I want to fix my marriage. Ladies, do y'all have that problem? No, you just want to fix your husband. Let's be real, right? I'm just kidding. But do you have that problem? I mean, let's see it, man. How many of you at your core, you like to be the one that provides and fixes? Would you raise your hand? Let's see it. Let's go around some room. That's a lot of us. All right. Steve, what about you? Are you that guy? All right. Okay, good deal. All right, good deal. You know how I met Steve? Fixing a lawnmower. Steve, did I fix your lawnmower? Yeah, I knew it. I knew he was going to tell the truth. I went over there and said, what's wrong? He said, my lawnmower's broken. I said, I'll be right back. I'll get somebody that I know can fix it. I went and got Wade and Bobby, and they fixed it, and I stood there and talked to Steve. All right, that's it. That's me. But I want to be like the guy that's like, I got control of my life. Guys, does it work? No. Ladies, does it work? No. But while you were sleeping, man, you could preach that. While you were sleeping, God was changing their minds. And while you were sleeping, God was moving. I remember going in and preaching to an inmate who was about to get a 10-year sentence. And he looked at me and he said, I'm going away for 10 years. I got to go to court. What should I do? I said, go to the judge and be honest. Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, didn't we? When you stand in front of the judge, tell the truth. Say, I did it. Did you do it? Yes. Then don't plead not guilty. I talked to somebody just yesterday that's given the same advice. It's good stuff. Tell them the truth, but they'll throw the book at me. You know what happened? They went and they told the truth, and they got released on probation. 10 years facing, released on probation. Why? Because while you're sleeping, God's working on the judge's heart. And while you're wondering what's going to happen, God is reading the book that has recorded the plan of your life. There's a God today that is working on your behalf for your good. And he will take the long, hard road, and he will reach the halfway house with it. Man, that's not even our sermon. You guys want to preach? I mean, y'all got the story. I'm not even joking. Can we celebrate today that God has been good in our lives? It's good to know that the next time I go to jail, all right, I've been there before, okay, guys? 16 hours, it wasn't as big. I told it, like, go watch it. It's not as big as you think, all right? But, you know, if I had a prison tattoo, it'd be a dot because I'm scared of needles, all right? That's literally... But if I ever go to jail again, it's going to be because I chose to serve Jesus when they said no. Anybody else say me too? Yeah. What about you guys? Next time we go, let's go because we served Jesus in a place we weren't allowed. We loved people in a world that didn't want love. Do you see that kind of world in our lives today? You know, people want love, don't know how to get love, so they supplement love and wound up broken by the supplement. They thought this person would fulfill them, and it didn't. They thought that this hit would satisfy the longing, but it only created more. They thought that, guys, listen to me, men of God, listen to me. They thought that logging in on the computer would satisfy their urge, and therefore they wouldn't break their bond. But by logging in, they've already broken it. And by watching it, they've already been influenced. And I've learned this about influence in our lives. Can we be real? Influence does not satisfy urges, it feeds them. It draws them in. I feel like a lot of people in this place know what I'm talking about today. Hey, it's good to have been called by God. It's good to know that you're known by God. You say, well, nobody will accept me. Nobody will take me. You know, one day everything that you wished would have accepted you will not matter anymore. And everything you hoped would open its doors to you will not exist anymore. And you will stand face to face with the one who accepts all. And you will stand in the presence of the one who loves all. And everything you thought mattered no longer matters. And everything that matters is now staring you in the eye saying, welcome home. There is coming a day that your perspectives will change. There's coming a day that your realities will change. And that day, can I tell you this now? That day, if you wait to heaven to have that day, you've missed the most abundant life that Jesus died to give you. You can have it right here. You can have it right now. Can I tell you this? When I leave this stage today, the attack of the enemy against what God has called me to do will reign in my mind. But while I'm here right now proclaiming his sermon, proclaiming his truth, I feel the power of God flowing through my body. I feel an excitement in my bones. Anybody else kind of have that experience when you go to a good Bible study or a good church or you listen to a good podcast? All the cares of the world just kind of strip away for the moment. You know what that tells me? If the moment that you encounter Jesus takes it away, then never leave the encounter. Take it with you. Take that moment with you. If the proclamation is what keeps you alive in Christ, then never stop proclaiming the goodness of God. He's good today, isn't he? Man, you guys totally messed up the sermon. It's your fault. All right, we're going to go there. Let's look at this, if you would. Grab this and read the next verse. We're talking today about networking and connection. We're talking today about how the kingdom can be powerful and come together, whether you're at home, whether you're here. We can partner together to accomplish great things for the Lord. But there's a process that we all must adopt into our personalities in order for us to get along with each other. It is the next couple verses. You ready? Read it and write these down. There's four things that he tells us to be. Number one, he says, always be humble and gentle. What does it mean to be humble? Somebody yell it at me real quick. See, now this is why we got problems in America. We got to know what humble is, right? It's not about me. Hey, what is it? Submission. We were teaching the kids about that. Phil was teaching them on Wednesday what submit means. You said, you're teaching my kids how to submit? Yeah, we talked about yield and submit. I'm going to tell you this right now. If every believer could learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit and submit to the plan of God, we would live totally different lives. We would live totally empowered lives. You agree? All right? I mean, if your kids would just obey you, you would get along a lot better at home, wouldn't you? Right? All right? Rachel made eye contact. They didn't look back. Go ahead. Now she's looking. Look again. I'm just kidding. All right. The thing is listen, if we would just get into a place where it's saying, hey, how can I serve you? Humble says, I'm not thinking of myself as less than you, but I think of myself less than I think about you. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that I deserve to be walked on by you. But what I am saying is I'm not going to think about myself as better than you. And I'm not going to think about what I want more than what you need. Hey, you want to be a church that's thriving? You want to be a relationship that's thriving? Think about each other's needs. You know what my wife got me for our anniversary? A little picture that all it says on it is two words. What are they, baby? But God. It's all it says, but God, dot, dot, dot. That's the rest of my story right there. Hey, everything before those two words, oh my goodness, it is ugly. But God showed up and took all that was before and made something new. But God, who is rich in love and mercy, but God stepped in, but God commended his love, and he demanded his love and demonstrated his love that while you were a sinner, Christ still chose you and died for you and validated you. He doesn't see you as a rapist today. He doesn't see you as a failure today. He sees you as his own today. Andre, can I share this? We went to breakfast yesterday morning, 7 a.m. Shows how spiritual we are. We're up at 7 on a Saturday. Actually, 6 to get there, right? Just kidding. That's not spiritual at all. Because we ate a bunch of fried food at Cracker Barrel. So, I mean, we can't be really too good. All right. Anyway, we're sitting there. And while we're sitting there, we start recognizing people around us, right? You know, you start hearing this person's insecurity that's waiting on your table. You start realizing that this kid over here gets picked on by his coworkers. Because yesterday, Cracker Barrel removed their mask mandate and nobody told him. So all day long, they're walking around maskless and he's in his mask. You know what that shows me? This kid right here, he gets singled out. You know what? You know what immediately should be our response? Encouragement. You know, we walk by you, we call our waiter over, we sit there. You get food together, no offense, Andre, but two heavy guys that are working on it, right? At a table with food, and they're good talkers. We were there 3 hours. All right, you following it? You know, we called her, how many tables would you have had in these last 3 hours had we gotten up? She said, 3. Then we're going to take care of you as if 3 tables sat here. You got 4 stars for a reason. We can see why. You've been phenomenal. You've been great. You know what, that lady, I told my wife when I got home, immediately she's like, what do you want to take? You want waters to go? You want a drink to go? You want this to go? The whole day we heard the insecurity, the apologize. The first thing she said to me when she got to the table, I got there a little bit early and she walked up and she said, excuse me if my voice is squeaky. Forgive me if I spit. I'm just now getting started. I mean, she was so scared from the very beginning. And then she waved at somebody and turned around and apologized to the table. I'm going to tell you this now. If all we did was went to that place and ate, I've been there with Chris and I see Chris interact with these people. And as they talk with these people, church, let me listen to you. You're not humble if you don't notice the people that are around you wherever you're going, because every place you step, hey, you might not have the promise of Abraham or God's going to make a great nation of you, but you do have the promise of Jesus that God's going to grow a kingdom through you. And everywhere a Christian goes, we should be claiming land. We should be claiming lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And we should see others as needers and people that need to be met, and we should encourage and pour. It shouldn't have been just about me and Andre and our dreams and visions at that table. It needs to be about the people that God brought to the table too. Are you with me? Humble says, it's not all about me. Can I tell you this? It is a little bit about you. But matter of fact, let's look at the vision statement that I handed out to you. You got it? It starts with purpose statement at the top of your page. I got the fancy copy, sorry. Together, would you read this out loud with me? Together, We are committed to serving Christ by obeying the great commandments while pursuing the great commission. That is all our church is about in one sentence. The great commandments are these, and just in case you haven't heard them, to love God with all your heart, body, mind, and soul, love him with everything, and to love your neighbor. What's the last? What does it say, Kenny? What's the last part? As you love yourself, as yourself. It is a little bit about you. How can you share the love of Jesus when you haven't experienced or accepted it? Hey, I'm going to tell you this right now. You want to be somebody of influence for the kingdom, be saved. Be rescued. Know that Jesus Christ died so that you could be free and accept that free gift. You cannot earn it. You did nothing to deserve it. It's given to you. Today, you are loved and you got to know that love. Somebody that knows their love has love to give. Does that make sense? You can drive your car today because there's gas in the tank, or you got an electric one and you plugged it in last night. Whichever way it is, you filled that car up so that it would move. Stay with me, church. If Sunday is the only time you're filling up your tank, that's a good reason why you're biting your wife's head off. That's a good reason why you're flipping people off in traffic. You say, I would never. No, we will never have bumper stickers because you would. Am I right? You're going to cut them off. Come on now. You say, I never yell at anybody in traffic. I did 2 days ago. There's some confession for you. I don't know if it was technically yelling, but I was not happy. Was it yelling? Just a little impatience. Thank you for being kind and telling me I was wrong. All right. So, I mean, they blew their horn at. They were the ones impatient. They were behind me. We'll talk later. No, I'm just kidding. All right. No. The thing is, hey, I have moments too, right? The thing is when my love tank is full, five basic love languages, write it down. If you're in a relationship, a friendship, there's different versions. There's one for the marriage, one for the single, one for the teen. If Gary Chapman wrote it, you need it, you need it, you need it, go read it. All right, five basic love languages. But if my tank is full, I have something to give. My car can go somewhere. But if my tank is empty, I got nothing. How many of you have ever been to the empty side? Maybe you're there today, and I'm not going to make you single yourself out. But my hope is if you came empty, somebody came in with a tank full. I sold a house this past week where the guy was a Christian. We didn't think the closing was going to happen. Colonial did a great job making it happen. And I got there early to do a final walkthrough, and I got to meet the seller. You don't always get to do that. And the guy was a believer. And he said, man, I've really been praying about this. Once they say that, now it's wide open. It's game on. Let's just have a worship session of Jesus right here in this driveway. So we'd start talking about God. You know what the guy did? He looked at me and he said, you know what? I just filled up that propane tank. And would you just tell him that I'm just going to give it to him? You know, and I got to thinking, like, I've been in some deals where that propane tank causes problems. Well, I paid for 25% of that gas that's in there, and they better pay me back or I'm not leaving it. Next thing you know, you got a deal on the brinks because somebody's not willing to give. But what I found is that when somebody is filled with something else, you know what's happening? That guy yesterday got married. He was waiting on his house to sell so he could get married. He was waiting on this thing to close so that he could get there. Friday, it closed. Saturday, he got married. You know what I mean? Here's what happened. His love tank was full, so who cares about propane? Are you with me? His love tank was full. He's about to go on a honeymoon, so who cares? I mean, I could have probably asked that guy for his car, and he'd have gave it to me. I mean, the thing is he's got his mind somewhere else. Hey, you know what the Bible tells us to do? You know how to stay humble. You know how to stay gentle. Fix your eyes. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, and you'll have a lot of things you can give away as a result. You'll have a lot of grace to give. Doesn't it say that he desires for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus? The grace meaning to love like Jesus can love, the knowledge of how to love like Jesus loves. Grace meaning I know what I need to give you, the knowledge is the how to give it to you. Hey, isn't it more blessed to give than to receive? How many of you have heard these scriptures? How many of you have tried these scriptures? Do you get more boost out of giving somebody something? I get so embarrassed when I'm opening something. You know what I mean? But I love to give things away. I mean, I really do. It's almost to a fault. But I love it because you know that God is doing things behind the scenes. You know the best way to give something away? Anonymously. You want some reward and meeting and warmth of the Holy Spirit, don't need credit for it. Don't need to be seen. If you got to tweet it or you got to Instagram it or you got to Facebook what you're doing, my question is, what's wrong with you? What is it you're trying to supplement in your life? What is it that's missing that you feel like you need to show everybody you're good in order to be good? Hey, just be good. And that's called being humble, knowing that God's been good to you and you got a lot to give. Hey, we need a generation of people that comes into church. Ready, Christians? Listen to me. We're in vacation season, right? This is a good time to get the church together and say, let's get refocused, revisioned. We need a group of people that are coming into churches all across America that did not come to church for the church to minister to them, but came to church already ministered to, ready to pour out into the lives of other people. What would happen if you didn't need worship service, but during worship service, you could minister because you worshiped all week long? You came in, you were jamming out your Jesus all the way to the church. You got out of your car, turned off the car. You rolled up your sleeves. You put on your gloves and you said, God, I am here to do your work. I am here to minister to someone. So humble and gentle go together. What's it mean to be gentle? Somebody was gentle in the response. All right, they were soft. What was it? Say it again. Not to hurt anybody. I mean, let's be real. Do you handle a baby different than you handle a toddler? But I have learned something. That if I handle my toddler in an aggressive way, it immediately breeds a fear. You can see it on the face of a child when they feel like aggression is taking place. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I do not want my kids to love me because they're scared of me. I want my kids just to love me because they know they're loved by me. So you know what that means? Sometimes even when you want to yell, you need to be gentle. Sometimes when you want to yank them up by the seat of their pants, you lead them by their hand. Are you with me? If not, I can take you to jail and I could let you talk to a lot of inmates that had they had some gentleness in their upbringing, they would have had a different outcome. Have y'all met guys like that? Had mom and dad said the words, I'm proud of you, they'd have never needed their gang. Yeah, I mean, if we saw people like this, we see people based on the problems they have in their life, not what problems led them to where they are in life. We look at them and we say guilty or innocent, and we put that label on the rest of their lives. But what about the kid that has never had the affection of a mother? You go read what science says will happen in that kid's mind. That kid will suffer, and that kid will have hardship, and that kid will have social problems, and that kid will have anxiety, and that kid will have addictions, and that kid is at high risk of going to jail at some point in their life just from the absence of a mother's affection. You say, well, that's hogwash. Well, why don't you, instead of judging what I just said, stop and thank God for your little fluffy life that you've had? Because not everybody had it so fluffy, and not everybody had it so clean. And the person you can't stand today probably can't stand themselves because they believe that nobody loves them and would radically change if they had somebody step into their life and issue love when they deserve the opposite. You want to get somebody loyal to your life? Be faithful, be gentle, be humble when they're dirty. Gosh. You know, let me just bust your bubble. Romans 1 lists all these sins that the church loves to preach about. Talks about all these people that we love to condemn. It tells all these stories, and if I preach Romans 1 in certain sectors of the world, there would be revival breakout in that church, shouting, running the aisles, screaming, hankies throwing up in the air. Oh, yeah, because people get so excited about what God's against. Have you noticed that? We love hate. Our media lives off of hate. They get their ratings off of hate. If hate ceases to exist in our world, they lose their ratings. Matter of fact, I'm not going to get political, but CNN's struggling right now because they can't dog Trump. They actually issued a statement that their ratings have dropped by like 30% because they've lost the target of their hate. You say, are you for or against? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they wrote a platform that eventually understand this. If you draw people into your life through hate, they will leave your life because of hate. I mean, the church can stand all day long and say what's wrong in the world, right? I mean, I could give you microphone after microphone to people in this auditorium who are hurting, and they could tell us all the bad things that are happening in life, and every one of us would leave depressed. Because they are terrible? No. Because it hurts to know what people are going through. But I am thankful for a Savior who modeled the lifestyle that when everybody else was avoiding, he was showing up. And when everybody else was condemning, he was given forgiveness. Woman, where are your accusers? They're not here. They're gone. Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Aren't you thankful that there's a God that shows up on your worst day and gives you the best opportunities? Man, isn't that something? We need churches that are willing to do this for other people. Go to the dreams and visions. It's the other page with the 8-9 things that are typed out. On July in 2015, they were passionate and dear to our hearts. We handed them out to a church. I want you to read number one with me. This is the dream of a place where the hurting, the depressed, the frustrated, the broken and the confused can find love, acceptance, help, hope, forgiveness, kindness, and encouragement. Who's in with me on number one? If number one doesn't exist, forget the rest. I mean, skip on down to the things that some people would say is vain. This is the dream of giving everyone the opportunity to grow into spiritual maturity through Bible studies, small groups, recovery, rehab programs, orphanages, focus groups, and local Christian schools. This is the dream of equipping every member with the tools that they will need to help them live successful, fruitful lives by helping them to discover the gifts and the talents that God has given them and by understanding the value and the purpose that God has placed on their lives. This is the dream of sending hundreds of ministers and missionaries into every nation. This is the dream of satellite churches. This is the dream of land where God can build these buildings. This is the dream of seeing the name of God rebuilt and the power of God being unhindered as we allow him to do the things that are far beyond our abilities and our understandings. This is the dream of seeing God radically change people's lives. This is who we are. This is what we are. And if it's not what we are or not what you want to be, this isn't the place for you. The reality is this. We don't need these buildings so that we can worship. We need these buildings because people need Jesus. I would just be honest with you. I have huge visions in my heart of what God wants to do in ministries. And as I pour them out to people, oftentimes they're met with discouragement. That's why I'm thankful for our elders and our pastors. In all these years, never once have they looked at me and told me I'm stupid. I am a dreamer. Am I right? Jordan, I'm a dreamer. And I believe that's why God put this passion in me. I come from brokenness. I've created brokenness. All right, any Me Too's in there? I know what it's like to spend time of your life just wishing that somebody could see the value that still remains on your life. Anybody else say yes? Me too. I know what it's like to have the marriage that Jesus has reborn, that just would love to be able to tell people what Jesus has done so that maybe somebody else's marriage could be reborn too. I know what it's like, and so do you, to have all the brokenness on you that the world looks at you and says you're no good. I know what that feels like, and so do you. But here's the reality. We know Jesus in this room, and if you don't know Jesus, he is in this room, and he really knows you, and he really wants you to know how much he loves you, and he really wants to be there. You're in a safe place today. But what about the 7.4 billion other people in the world today? What about the ones swimming across rivers dying trying to get into our country? I sat down with a client this past week who is an immigrant who migrated here, and he looked at me as he was signing his name on a contract, and he made this statement. Tear rolling down his cheek. You have no idea what it feels like to finally be in a country where I have a chance. My heart ripped out of my chest. You say, well, they should this and they should that. You know what? Listen, let people figure that out. Because if what we're worried about is whether they're American or not, then we're missing the point of what God's called us to. Because what we should be worried about is, do you know Jesus? Do you know you're loved? We're the only nation in the world, get this, that people are flocking to. Are you with me? We don't even have to go overseas. They're coming here. Do we need to go overseas, bro? Yes. Do we need to be in the other parts of the world for those that can't make it? Yes. Are there orphans in the Philippines that are going to die because they caught a cold? Yes. A cold, a cold, a cold. That NyQuil or Tylenol or something would have totally helped them with and cured. They will die because they can't even get over-the-counter medicine. We've put the shoes on the feet of people and been told that they will be dead the next time you come. Well, why? Because they had an eye booger that showed they had a sinus infection that nobody could treat. Are you with me? God help us. This has to matter. And yet here we are in a world where they're coming. Matter of fact, now we're in a state where I'm just going to tell you what they tell us. If you get a call from New York, Illinois, California, New Jersey, take it. It's a guaranteed sale. That's what they tell us. We don't even have to leave the state. They're flocking here. Do you understand that as we look at that, we say, oh, it's because we're the best. No. Can I tell you the way the church should see it is the fields are white to harvest and the laborers are few. You don't even have to go plant the field to find a lost person. They're showing up at the restaurant you'll go eat lunch at today. Are you with me? Do you understand that we need some gentleness that says, okay, you know what? There's going to be times that I don't like you, but I'm going to love you through those times. Can I say that again? You cannot like somebody but still love them. If you can't do that, you'll never stay married. Am I right? Jordan, am I right? Is this one of those moments? Right? Like, you're very quiet. All right. It's like, okay, here we go. No. I don't like sometimes the way that Lincoln responds when he's frustrated. He has no words. Yesterday, we were driving down the road, and his phone lost connection, and it became a projectile. Lincoln doesn't have the ability to say, Dad, Mom. So you know what Lincoln does? He throws it. So all of a sudden, you're driving down the road, and if you're not careful, you're going to get knocked out by something flying from the back seat. I don't like that. I love my son, though. You know what? We've decided we can love him through that. I don't like the fact that he is such an adventurer that he'll jump off the highest thing in the world, that if we're looking at going out of town, we have to get a low balcony because if it's four stories up, he may jump and try to make it to the pool. I don't like that. But I love him. Are you with me? I don't like the fact that I could talk to my little girl, but I don't carry on conversations with my little boy. But I love him. Are you with me? I don't like the fact that my daughter calls me Josh. Here you go, Josh. Hey, Josh. She pick up the phone, Josh. But I love her. I don't like the fact that yesterday she came up to me holding a live bug, fearless, and said, look, yucky. Church, I don't often like how I feel on Saturday nights. I don't sleep well. I get scared to preach. Am I right, Jordan? But I love the opportunity to stand in front of you and tell you that Jesus loves you. I don't always like things about me, and I don't always like things about you. And you're not always going to like everything about me. But can't we love beyond it? Can't we look beyond the fault? The nationality, the skin color. Can't we look beyond the voter registration card? The the party affiliation. I was sitting there meeting with somebody else this week, and they were telling me, they said, yeah, we were a part of a church, and we had nowhere to meet, so we went over to the Memorial Building in Newport, and we were trying to meet there, and all of a sudden the fire marshal came in and said, you're not legally allowed to meet here, and so we went from having a place that we could meet, and their church is now named Memorial Baptist, to not even having a place to meet at all, and a local Presbyterian church heard about our situation and called us and said, hey, look, we're running very few, having a hard time paying our bills. Why don't you do Sunday school during our service, and then we'll do Sunday school during your service, and we'll use the same building, and we'll worship the same God, even though we're different denominations. And I thought to myself, finally, maybe we're getting the picture of what this should be like. Finally, maybe. And my heart started to explode, because it should not matter. What should matter is Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. But I'm going to tell you this, until we humble ourselves and we become gentle in the way that we deal with each other, we'll never get Jesus out. Why? Because if the tank is empty, you got no fuel to give. Man, this is probably going to turn into a series, because I really feel God driving this point home today, and I don't know why. Can I tell you this? My text that I actually thought we would preach from started in verse number 14. And we're on verse 2. Isn't it cool how the Holy Spirit, sometimes we think we've got it all figured out, that this is what the people need today, God. You know, they need this powerful, man, it's going to be good. Oh, man, 14's good stuff. And I'm excited to get there. But then all of a sudden you get in the moment and the Holy Spirit says, hey, let's humble ourselves. Let's humble ourselves. I found this to be very interesting. I tried to separate these two points when I was studying this, and God said, no, you can't have one without the other. It's impossible to be gentle without being humble, and it's impossible to be humble without being gentle. They have to go together. And if I'm going to love you, well, there's certain things that we do when we love somebody, right? We make time for them. You know what my wife let me do yesterday? Take a nap. I know, and we chuckle, right? But you know what that was? Huge for me. For about an hour, hour and a half, I don't know how long it was. You don't either. See, that's how much she loves me. She didn't even keep up with it either. I sat back in the couch. Vic laid down on the couch. I sat back in the chair. He laid down on the couch, and we snorted out, didn't we? You know what woke Vic up? My daughter. She came out. She looked at him. His eyes were closed. She looked at me. I said, don't do it. You know, like, leave him alone. Grampy's resting. And she went over there, and she gave him a big hug, and she looked at him in the eye. She wanted to see his eyes open, and then he opened his eyes. She looked at me and goes, there he is. You know, like, he's back, you know? When I woke up, she's out there. We have a little blow-up kiddie pool. Thanks to y'all finding them. Last year, we couldn't find them. They were like $200 a piece. So those little tiny things. This year, they found them at $25. You know what? They didn't even wait on us. They went and bought them. We were able to reimburse them. They went and bought them because Lincoln pops 3 a year. There she is scrubbing those things out and getting all the kids together. See, when we love each other, we make time for each other, and then we go beyond for each other, right? We do the things that we know will help the other person. How many of you are thankful you got somebody in your life, whether it's your kids, a friend, a coworker, that does that for you? Anybody like that? But can I tell you this? That should be the heartbeat of our church. You should get here early on purpose. Why? Because people should matter. Yeah, I know you've got 15 kids and it's hard to get here. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the ones that need to be here for when you get here with your 15 kids. You got 5 diaper bags you're trying to carry. There should be somebody out there in the parking lot to carry it with you. We should not come and find a seat before we have the intention of coming and finding a person. You know what Andre said to me yesterday? I'm going to tell on him. He said, man, we get there right before church and I have to sit in the front row, you know? He said, I really like sitting in the balcony. You know what I told him? If you get here early, you get to sit anywhere you want. Am I right? So guess where Andre is? He's in the balcony. Why? He got here 30 minutes early today. You know why? Because you mattered to him. Now, I don't know what that did to Rachel, if she had to get all the kids together and all that by herself. But you know what that does? That means something. that she would be willing to allow him to go, that my wife's willing to allow me to go, that Tanya's willing to allow him to go. The praise team gets here early. Why? Because you matter. You matter. You mean something. And we should spend time making sure that people are noticed. Spend time making sure that they're cared for. I made this statement yesterday. I'll make it again. You should be so worshiped up that when you come into a worship service, you're able to inspire the person. I'm expanding it. You're able to inspire the person who cannot worship because God has ministered to you that you don't need the song, but you can minister and you're watching for the person that in the song is being drawn by the Spirit. And the next thing you know, you're praying with somebody instead of singing and dancing and doing. And because you're praying with and laying hands on and loving, they get a song that burns in their heart and they get an excitement that burns through their veins. We need a church that's unified, but you don't have unity until you care about somebody other than yourself. You just don't. There's a lot of things that we're going to disagree on. Would you agree? I give you the right to be wrong. I'm just kidding. We're all going to be wrong, right? There's things that we're not going to see eye to eye. I mean, I love the fact that we can come here and there's no dress code. You know what I mean? Maybe you think there should be a dress code, but can we love each other not to care? Am I right? I am so thankful to come to a church that one Sunday we're singing How Great Thou Art, and then the next Sunday we're pretty much singing at a very upbeat song called Rattle. You know, and I love that some points we're hands in the air and we're swaying, but some points it's loud. And you say, well, I think the music should be this. Can we love each other beyond it? Can that not matter so that the person can? Are you with me? Can we get to the place in places of worship to where, well, you like a quiet setting, then find a room. Because we love the fact that kids think that they can run on our stage. You say, well, I don't want them on the stage because I don't want them to break something. You know what? I don't want them to break something either. But I want them to have courage to step up here. And I want them to have courage to grab a microphone. And I want them to have courage to sing and to dance and to jump and to leap. You say, well, church should be a place of worship. I'm going to tell you this now. So should your living room. So the next time your kids get rowdy, I'm going to show up and tell them, you need to be quiet because this is the place that mom and dad should be worshiping. Am I right? Hey, man, we should, you say, well, I don't agree. Then let's love each other beyond it. Are you okay with that? I mean, I am so plain and normal that the other day I put on a green shirt and my wife asked me why I dressed up. Andre told me yesterday, you look different, bro. It was still a t-shirt. It was just green. I showed up to church with no walls and Wade's like, I've never seen you in that color, man. I'm like, you know what? I don't have to even put on a tie to be fancy. I just put on a different Hanes t-shirt and I'm ready to go. I'm plain. Didn't used to be. I used to be so stinking materialistic, it wasn't even funny. My shoes had to match my shorts and they had to match my belt and they had to match my watch. It was bad. Matter of fact, if you come into my closet today, you'll see the remnants of that. And the bad thing is I've donated a lot out of my closet. But now I'm convinced that if you gave me four of these shirts, two pairs of jeans, and a pair of shoes, I could live. You say, what's different about you? Certain things don't matter like they used to. And can I tell you this? The thing you're so bent out of shape about against somebody or your workplace today will not mean as much to you 2 months from now. The thing you don't like about somebody today will not mean the same thing to you a year from now. Unless you allow bitterness and corruption to set up within you. Unless you make it the focus of your worship. You say, well, we came in here today with a struggling marriage. You can still be a minister today. Where in the Bible does it say that in order to minister, you had to have all the answers? I was listening to a podcast as I was mowing my yard on Friday. And the guy on leadership, I shared this with Pastor Dennis. He went through the biblical qualifications of being a pastor. I was like, great, here we go. I'm going to get told through a podcast again why I should never pastor. And he went down through it and he said, if any of these, you're qualified for all of these, then you are the one and only in the world that exists. A pastor should practice self-control. You know what he said? God help us, we're going to have to fire 75% of the obese pastors who can't put down a cookie. You know how much those words resonated in my heart? Not because of the cookie. Was that Connie that laughed at me? All right. Because it made sense. We always say they lack self-control if their sin is different. But how many of you struggle with self-control in some point of your life? Would you raise your hand and testify? See, when God puts a qualification on a person, it is not a permanent. They have to always be this. God puts qualifications on people that says you can become this even if you weren't this yesterday. Are you with me? God puts it out there and says, hey, if your sins were scarlet, they can be white. Are you, isn't this good? And you say, well, he's only saying this because of his sin. No, I'm saying it because of yours too. That God is the God of renewal. His mercies renew every single morning. Isn't that beautiful? And you say, well, you know what? I need a little bit more self-control. In Jesus' name, right now, you could have it. You say, well, I've been addicted for 10 years. In Jesus' name, you could be free. And you say, well, you say it's that easy. No. I never said it was going to be easy. See, can I tell you something and can I break it down? We've tried to make salvation the end all. But let me tell you the truth. You can get saved and accept the gift of God and still have work to do. Yes, your soul can be secure and eternally settled and eternally established, but that doesn't mean you're going to get rid of all your sin the next day. Paul says, keep working out your salvation. He's not saying keep working to be saved. He's saying, but just as you've received Christ, and now that you've got Christ, you need to walk in Christ, you need to get rooted in Christ, and you need to grow in Christ. Are you with me today, church? It means this, that Jesus is the answer and he is the one that will change you, but there's got to be a reliance and a dependency on him from the moment you give him your heart into the next moment until you continue to make him a lifestyle. Are you there? So you messed up yesterday. You didn't lose Jesus. You didn't lose him. You might have just lost some momentum. Here's good news. In Jesus' name, you can have it back right now. You know what Satan wants you to do? He said, watch out that, I like how Hebrews says this, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness. He says, make sure that people don't miss the grace of God because of this poisonous root of bitterness that grows up and corrupts too many. I found this to be self. It's self-inflicted, self-true. And self-evident. Ready? I am madder at myself than you could ever be. Mad at me. Am I right? I am more disappointed in myself than you could ever be. Your forgiveness will not heal me. Do I need it? Yes. But only the forgiveness that Jesus can give can set me free. Are you with me? I found out that a family across the street from a house I sold this week had their son tragically hang himself doing the TikTok blackout challenge just about 5 days ago now. 12 years old. My wife told me that if he was doing a blackout challenge or a TikTok challenge, that means he videoed it. They walk in to find their son dead. The seller looked at me and he said, that family went from full of life to ghost. Now, I know the family that bought the property across the street are believers, so you know what I did when they got there for their final walkthrough? There's your first ministry. And as we looked across the street, the little boy, the little brother, was looking out the window. My heart was devastated. Can I tell you this right now? There's nothing I can say to that family that would take that pain away. I cannot heal them. Matter of fact, church, we need to stop trying to say things that we've been taught to say, thinking they bring help. I'm praying for you. You know, I'm going to give you this right here. We're going to close here. We're not going to make it past this. Just telling you. Stop tearing down God's name by telling people that he's responsible for something he had nothing to do with. You say, well, I never do that. This is all part of God's plan. No, it's not. Please write this in your notes. If this is the only note you get, text it to yourself. Ready? 99.9% of the things that happen in our world today, God has nothing to do with. God did not create a world to be contaminated by sin. God created a world to be consumed by relationship. Sin corrupted it. Are you following me today? We live in a world that most of the things that are happening, the death that's all around, it's not God's will that any would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. It's not God's will for anybody to go to hell. How can the God of love send somebody to hell? He never has. He never has. The Bible specifically said it's created for the devil and his angels, the demons. But yet the Bible also says that hell enlarges itself daily. Why? Because if the gospel's hid, it's hid to the lost. It's hid by those who should be sharing the gospel. It's hid by those that should have the gospel being lived out through their lives. It's hid by the churches that instead of coming together and saying, you know what? Every church in this community needs your prayer. And every church in this community that's proclaiming Jesus Christ as Savior needs your support. And every church in this area and the area next door needs us to be praying for it and supporting it and getting involved in it and helping it. God help us. If this is the only church you care about, then you are selfish. We don't need to be that. If you're the only life you're thinking about, then we're selfish. Are you getting the gist today, church, that we're trying to empower you to become kingdom-minded, to become go-minded, to become share-minded, to become being in the streets and in your homes and in your neighborhoods minded, to caring about the person that's in the traffic with you, to caring about the person that's eating at the table next to you, to realizing that today, while you're putting temporary food in your mouth, Satan is putting eternal temptation and separation from God into the minds of the person that could be sitting at the table next to you. And if you don't get courage enough to humble yourself and be gentle enough to maybe even just pick up somebody else's check and tell them that God has noticed them today, if we don't become people that are aware, then people are going to split hell wide open that God never intended for them to go to. And I am praying every single day of my life that God would use my life and my family and my kids, this church. If that's going to happen, we got to wake up and we got to get humble. We got to get gentle. It's easy to say, I love you. It's hard to prove it. And Jesus didn't just say it. He showed it. So stop telling me and others that you love them. Prove it. Whether you come early, whether you stay late, whether you teach children next week, you say, I don't even know how to teach children. Just play with them. Sit down and throw a ball. Encourage them. If they're singing, sing with them. You say, that's not teaching them anything. Oh, it's teaching them way more than you know. Because I look around this room at all these faces of people that have all different ages and all different personalities, and I wonder, what was it that you were at 4 that somebody took from you that God wanted you to be at 40? Were you the one that would dance through the living room and sing and not care if anybody was watching, and now you can't even raise a voice in the middle of a worship service in a crowd of thousands? You couldn't even be heard because you're scared to death about what somebody would think if you were to let it out. My wife and I had this conversation just this week. How do we take these things that we see in our children and make sure that they don't disappear? Jordan makes the statement, there's no doubt Canaan's going to perform at some level. She's always dancing. She's always singing. She's always wanting to play the piano. She picks up on things fast. So when Canaan says you should dance, guess what we do? We dance. It does not look pretty, but I do it. When mom does it, it's like, that's a dancer. This is not. But what is she going to be? She says, let's jump. What do? When she throws a ball, what do? Why is it that we can be a certain way with our kids that are part of our family, but we can't be that way with each other? To win. someone like Diane walks up to you because you asked somebody to give you a guitar pick, and then she says, hey, I just made this today or last night. But you don't take that moment to say, wow, that's awesome. And you know what this is? This is a mistake on a piece that she was making that turned into a guitar pick. And I told Jimmy as I started to play with it, it's kind of cool because I can bend it and it shapes to my finger. Can't do that with most picks. They break. But this one's unique. Diane's not in the room, so this isn't even making her ears. Diane lost her husband just a few years ago, one of the greatest men we've known. Am I right, Dennis? Just a great man to cancer. Diane struggles with loneliness, and Monica is a gifted young lady who will be with Diane the rest of her life. Monica loves to help with our children's program. That's why Monica's not in the service today. She's our helper on Wednesday nights, and she takes great pride in it. She makes every t-shirt she wears. Can I tell you that? She puts a little logo on it just to put her stamp. Most times it's a Disney character. She's proud of those shirts. Diane, in order to fill the void in her life, has started to make acrylics or different things out of epoxy. And if you've seen them, they're good. They're really good. I told her today, you really should be at the flea market selling. You really should do an Etsy. And you see her face just light up. You know, it does not take much to keep something going in someone that's going to keep them going too. Are you so Americanized or religious? You've forgotten people matter other than ourselves. We need humble, gentle people, don't we? So why don't we just take a moment and just humble ourselves right here before God? You know what I've realized is you don't have to be at an altar to do it. Matter of fact, you don't even have to be at a church to do it. Maybe we pray a prayer as simple as this, heads bowed and eyes closed. God, give me eyes to see them and a desire to reach them. In Jesus' name. Give me eyes that see them and a desire to reach them. In Jesus' name. We started the church service with three graduates represented, one by a month. Give me your eyes, then we'll pray together. Ready? Here it is. One says, I'm going to be a social worker. We brought that one up a couple months ago. It's a foster child that's been adopted. You know what she's saying? I'm going to go find the ones that were just like me. And I'm going to care. Yeah, the one saying, I'm going to get into computers. And by the way, without computers, your life would be terrible. Am I right? How many of you say, oh, I miss the days before the cell phone? Raise your hand. Anybody like that? Okay. How many of you have a cell phone? Hypocrite. Hypocrites. Right? But I think about Christian, and what if he's the one that creates the program, that creates the cure, that creates the abilities that unlocks a person's availability. Isn't that a cool thought? And you got Alexander, who's got his life on the line for you and me right now, serving in the military like many others. And I think to myself, there's three people that are going after careers that'll help other people. Thank God for young adults like that. You agree? But you know what? We have a responsibility to do, to support them, to pray for them, to be there, to encourage them, to lift them up, to keep them going, to stand in the gap. When they mess up, they fail the test, they do this, they drop out, they change their minds, or they go a different direction. We stand behind them and say, God's still got a plan for you. To stand in front of the person that's been out of jail for or prison for six years out of prison, 3 months, and say, man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life. Matter of fact, got a glimpse of it today. It was like a window to heaven just in that smile, you know, to hear what God's doing through your life, into his life, and into theirs lives, from how you are meeting a long road that led you to Jesus. Man, what a road that was worth traveling. Even if you didn't know how to get to Christ on your own, he knew how to get to you where you were. Isn't that something that we can move on and say, here we go. Hey, I know what I am, and I know what everybody in society says I am, but I also need to embrace what God says I am. And when I can embrace that, then I can realize that God can change you too. And we can do something. So I do apologize for going so long, especially on something that had nothing to do with what we were going to preach on today. But I feel like God has really reset grace. Anybody else feel like that? That's not saying anything about people that used to come or go other places. That we, by the way, stop tearing people down. You say, well, so-and-so should, no. Stop tearing people down and get concerned, and in your prayers, start thanking God and asking God to encourage them from where they are to where they're going from here. But right now, we're in a season to where I feel like we've got to get ready. I think, Misty, you messaged my wife about something that, you know, what happens if we can't meet at church? Do we have a plan? You know, I think we're getting ready for a season of faith that we've never seen before, and a season of difficulty that we've never seen before in our nation, to where Christianity is going to go under attack. I've preached that. I believe it. I feel it in my soul. You don't have to argue with me. I can read the Bible and see it's there. And I believe that we have got to come together and say, okay, you know what? What happens tomorrow if Jennifer has nowhere to live? What happens? Do we pray for her? Or who has the extra bedroom? Who has a couch that somebody can sleep on? What happens today if somebody's sitting in this auditorium that doesn't have groceries in their refrigerator? What happens? Do we pray for them and send them away? Or do we go to the grocery store and help them buy something so that they can eat this week? What happens when a church starts saying it's more than just getting together in a building? It becomes a Pentecost. It becomes a movement. It becomes breaking bread and fellowship. It becomes noticing who's not here and actually letting them know they're missed. And it becomes about each other instead of being all about ourselves. And you know what? An Acts 2 church adds to itself through the way it loves people. God help us. I really do love you. And we feel the love from you. But who out there or who in here has no love in their life at all that needs some encouragement today? Who on the security team today wants to quit? What children's worker wants to give up? What pastor wants to leave the pulpit? What person is ready to throw down and say, I'm never doing this again? That if you would just simply walk up and say, I appreciate you, it would put wind back in their sails so that they could get up one more time. You know, I keep hearing Jesus tell his disciples, just throw out the net one more time. One more time. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Let's pray. God, thank you for your love for us. I cannot think about Calvary, redemption, and the grace that you've given without automatically feeling humbled. Because God, I know I don't deserve any of that. And yet you gave everything, everything, everything for me. So for that, we say thank you. God, help us to see beyond what somebody has done. Help us to see beyond where somebody is. Who somebody is. Help us to care deeply about who you say they are. And will you raise a unified body of believers that are willing, ready, and excited to minister in your name? Thank you for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for all the freedom we have because of you. God, it is our prayer and desire to be with you in heaven, but God, right now, I hope and pray that you will convict us to where it becomes our prayer and desire to have a little bit of heaven right here on earth and to share that heaven with those around us so that they too can be comforted and encouraged, so that they too can be lifted up, so that they too can be reached, God, even greater, so that they can be saved and find the purpose and value that you have placed on their lives. To you be the glory for everything, now and forever, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.